Crunch Time. Crunch Time. You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch Time. Crunch Time.
But you never told me you knew how to tell time.
I don't know how to tell time.
What
this is not my
for?
Watch.
Oh, that must be. Is that Curtis?
It must be Curtis's. Curtis's.
Curtis, you forgot
no,
your watch.
No, don't tell him. He will wander around here for hours. It will be priceless.
I need some Clorox, please. I just touched this thing. All right, guys, welcome to Crunch Time. You recognize the voices. You know the time. The day. It is Wednesday. It's Frank and Grenny. It's Crunch Time. We appreciate you guys listening in as you're driving around town. Or maybe you made it home and you broke open a little cocktail. Hopefully one of those CBD sparkling waters, maybe add a little bit of vodka or rum to it and sit back, put your feet up and relax a little bit as we go through this crazy, crazy world that we call COVID land.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Oh.
Unbelievable.
Boy, oh boy. Well, welcome to the show, guys. And once again, we appreciate CBD American Shaman.
We love them.
All that they do for us to do this show. And once again, 30% off all products all over the metro at all the different stores. Pop in, tell them that Grenny and Frank sent you, and you'll get 30% off any product. Frank, you are going hiking. You're leaving tomorrow. Let us know what you're doing and what you're bringing.
Yeah, we're going to Leadville. I'm going to Leadville. Going by myself. Going to go camping for the first time ever.
By yourself.
By myself. It's a COVID-19 thing.
Watch
I'll be
those
separated
bears.
From everybody out there. You don't have to worry about those too much. Nobody's been attacked and killed by an animal in Colorado for a while.
Okay.
So
well, let's
keep at least we're up where I'm going. And I'm going to do some hiking, and I'm going to take my topical cream with me. And I'm going to need that because I'm going to get edema. You know, it's going to put a little fluid out there in your extremities because you're climbing a mountain and you're going to have to keep hydrated and all that sort of stuff.
But, what's the elevation?
The two peaks I'm going to do are both above 14,000 feet. So it'll be interesting. And I'll definitely take my CB Knight to sleep because it's always tough the first couple of nights to get your rest up there because, you know, you're changing altitude.
Be careful sleeping too hard when you're camping.
Well, that's okay. I don't care.
Next thing you know, there'd be some bobcat cuddling with you in there.
Geez, will you quit worrying about the animals? What are you worrying about the damn animals for? Quit worrying about it. You're worried more about the elk than you worry about any of those things. Elk can roll over your tent. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. I believe it or not, all these years I've been on Earth, I've never camped. Never. I've been practicing putting my tent up and taking it down in my yard.
So what are you going to eat?
You're
going to bring your own food? You're going to bring one of those little stoves that you have to
No. I'm not going that crazy. I'm only about 5 miles from Leadville.
Okay.
So I can get into Leadville if I really want to. But I've got, for the mountain, I've got my PB&Js or my turkey and mustard and cheese and all that sort of stuff. Just take some sandwiches up there.
Don't forget the CBD
bars,
gummies.
My CBD gummies keep me going. And CBD Go. I got the Go to get me up the mountain. Let's go.
Let's do it. And you'll have a good time. We hope make it back and in one piece.
Well,
I need you.
I said this this afternoon.
Frank, I need you.
Yeah, I know. I said this afternoon on Sorrento Show. I said, don't worry. My kids and my wife both say, don't worry about it. You're worth more dead than alive anyway. So
not to me.
You drop over up there. Don't worry about it too much.
Not to me. Well, as we all know, the NFL has kicked off. Everybody has reported, and training camp is underway. It's not your grandfather's or your father's training camp, but it is training camp. And the Kansas City Chiefs, who are one of the first teams to start training camp, are well into their training camp / OTAs right now.
And COVID testing.
And there's just a lot of different protocols and a lot of different things that teams around the NFL are doing. I thought it was interesting. We'll go through a couple of them if you guys want to kind of opine on what's going on with the different
the new
teams
rules.
And different rules. According to Nate Taylor, they're meeting right now. They're meeting in the hallways of the suites. So remember now, they're all in Arrowhead Stadium. And why are they in Arrowhead Stadium? Because they have more lockers in Arrowhead Stadium than they do at the practice facility. There's 80-plus guys that are there. So, you know, you got to have locker room space. And if you're going to have social distancing in a locker room, you need them all. So they're using the home locker room. They're using the visiting locker room. They're using the officiating locker room. And for you guys that don't know it, I'm sure you probably expected, there is a cheerleaders locker room also. And they're using the cheerleader locker room. The cheerleaders are not there for all you guys out there who are wondering. They are not there, but they're using all those different locker rooms because they are trying to social distance out there. They're trying to keep 6 feet between the guys, even in the locker rooms. Everybody is wearing face shields. They have contact tracing bracelets that they're all wearing. And there's a bunch of different little things that are going on over there. There's plexi shields in front of the lockers. The meeting rooms, obviously, they're sitting 6 feet apart. And so there's all kinds of different deals. I think it's interesting. The Denver Broncos, they're doing all that same kind of stuff. But they also have this mist that they're walking through when they go out to the practice field and they come back from the practice field, the kind of a disinfectant mist that they're spraying on that American Shaman has kind of has some products that you can use for the misting process.
Right. And, you know, it's sort of like their cleansing wash where you cleanse the surfaces, although that's not it. But it's like that sort of thing that comes through the spray. It's almost like one of the sprays they use at amusement parks and stuff when it really gets hot. The misting, that's a type of spray. It's not water, obviously. It is a disinfectant. So.
And there's been some talk in some stadiums about having drones that will spray that mist down on people. They haven't really come up with the technology or the kind of the means to do that, but that's something they're looking at and experimenting with. I thought it was interesting, the Saints, what they're doing. First of all, they're in a bubble. Their meetings are all in hotels. Their practice, they go right from the practice field to the hotel and they have the meetings, and they're staying in the hotel in a bubble type of an atmosphere, which is they're really the only team that I heard of that I think is just doing the bubble process. Is there anybody else that is doing bubble process where they're going from a hotel to the meeting back to a hotel where they don't go home or they don't do those things? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure how many teams are doing it or not doing it.
Well, I know the Rams are up in because they're not at their stadium, and the reason why they don't have to be at their stadium because they don't have a stadium. They are up in Thousand Oaks where the Dallas Cowboys used to go. Mm-hmm. So they're up there, and most of the people that are up there say that it's like a bubble anyways because there's nothing going on up in Thousand Oaks, which is fine. And, you know, it's funny because Green Bay said the same thing. You're like, there's really not much going on up here.
No, there's not much going on.
So they have their bubble process. But I thought it was interesting, and I don't know if you heard about this. I have no idea. I never heard of this. It's called Silver Clean. And what Silver Clean is a technology that has silver in the wash. So when you take all the equipment, whether it's the pad, the pants, the pads, the shirts, the towels, and they put this in the Silver Clean, and it puts together a kind of a collective barrier for germs. So when you drop your towel down on the ground, there's a protective silver barrier on that product to keep the germs off. So they think that that's going to be an answer. So everybody has these answers. The other thing they have is it's kind of called clear skin or clear scan. And I'm not exactly what it's called. I tried to listen to it a couple of times, but when they were doing a little deal, a little Zoom meeting, I was listening in on. It's a scanner that's on each door of the facility. Now, I saw this at Notre Dame, and my son Colin's like, yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think they were just trying to implement it back last time I was there. But what happens is each player is logged into
this system,
and your temperature is logged in. So if your temperature changes, then an alert goes off. You can't get in the door. So they are an outside protective scan. So mm-hmm. then you walk up, you look into it. I'm not sure if it's technology with your iris mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But so each person is logged in, and you are particularly processed through this machine, which I thought was pretty interesting too. Now, remember with the Rams, and that's the Saints, with the Rams, they have a module building. They're practicing in Thousand Oaks. And they're testing every day, like just about everybody. The Chiefs are testing just about every day. And they have the contact tracing. But the thing that I think is interesting, and I think this is really important, that each team has decided to give a COVID class. And they're giving a class on all the symptoms. They're giving a class on what to look for. They're giving a class on what you can and cannot do with the COVID virus. How you catch COVID, all these different things, which may sound basic to all of us because we've heard so much, but I mean, just to reiterate, so they're not nervous and they're not worried and they understand what they can and can't do and what process they need to go through to stay healthy. So each team, maybe it's a 20 to 25 minute meeting every day. They talk about the COVID virus and ways to counteract or combat getting that virus. So I thought that was interesting through the educational process.
Yeah, right. And they keep them up to date on everything that's going on, too. So even, you know, the kids, we'll talk about college football in the last segment. But, mm-hmm. you know, all these players, a lot of them are married, they have little kids. Some have parents who are, you know, compromised, and they don't want to bring it home to them. You've had X amount of NFL players have opted
about
out already.
50 now.
It's about 50. There's probably going to be a lot more.
The Tomorrow's
opt-out
the day
is mm-hmm. tomorrow. So I think you're going to get a whole influx of people tomorrow because that will be the last day that they'll be able to opt out. And if they go to opt out after that, there's going to be there'll be some issues for them.
Yeah, if you opt out before tomorrow, then you will receive $350,000. It doesn't matter whether you are a free agent on a team or you are. And I think with that opt-out process, you kind of have to have...
You have to have an excuse of why you're opting out. Not, I just don't want to. I want to collect $350,000 yep. and I just want to go sit in my butt. That's not going to be it.
And then after that, I think that there is a process where if you don't have a reason or don't have, I think it's like $150,000.
And you've got to pay that back. You do not mm-hmm. have to pay back the $350,000 if you have a reason to do it. You know, if you have grandparents or parents or siblings or, you know, nieces, nephews, whatever, somebody from your immediate family might have an issue and you're opting out for that, that's fine. You get $350,000. If you just decide to opt out, then you get $150,000, but you have to pay it back.
So getting back to the Kansas City Chiefs, they have kind of gotten onto the field and they are a little bit ahead of everybody else as far as training camp because they start a little bit earlier, obviously, because they play, hopefully, a couple of days earlier than everybody else on a Thursday. So they were able to kind of get this process going. They've done a really good job. Knock on wood, there has not been any positive tests yet with the Kansas City Chiefs. I noticed that the Eagles, their head coach,
Doug Peterson,
mm-hmm. he has COVID.
Right.
He's going to remote coach. Staley's running it for him right now. Right. And so he has that.
He has symptoms, but he's not. I'm sorry. He's asymptomatic. That's right. He says, I'm fine. I feel fine. I can coach remotely.
And there's been some teams that have four or five guys that have tested positive, whether asymptomatic or have some symptoms. So that was kind of that process the Chiefs went through about a week ago, and most teams are kind of getting in that process right now. So the Chiefs are a little bit ahead. So one of the things that I had the opportunity to visit with one of the guys via text message a couple of days ago, and just kind of he asked me a question about something. So I said, hey, how's camp going? And one of the things that he said that I thought was really interesting is that the veteran guys on the Kansas City Chiefs have really made it a point of emphasis to push the enthusiasm and the thinking about details and doing the little things correctly. Because you can get a little bit lazy or lax. I'm not saying this team is or, you know, is going to, but one of the things they said is, you know, listen, we're coming off Super Bowl year. And, you know, we have 20 to 22 guys back, so everybody kind of knows each other. And, you know, there's some question whether there's going to be a football season. So all that stuff can kind of creep into your mind. I think the Chiefs have done a really good job from the top down to kind of counteract that kind of attitude. But one of the things that veteran guys are making a point of emphasis is, listen, you have got to pay attention and do all the little things because this is an important year. If we get this going, we want to repeat. We want to make this different. And you're seeing that because there's been Williams was one of the guys that opted out, and then Tardif opted out because of his medical training, and he wanted to be able to go and do the medical training.
He wants to stay in the front lines of the
which is admirable. But there hasn't been a lot if you compare to other teams of opting out because these guys see the writing on the wall that this team has an opportunity to do something special. And the veteran guys, especially number 15, has really made that the point of emphasis and the thing that they want to get done during this period. Every period of training camp has something you want to get done. And right now it's just attention to detail, doing all the little things and bringing some intensity, bringing the juice, is what the comment was. We want to make sure the guys are bringing the juice, because you can get to that point where it's kind of OTAs. You're not really sure what's going on. You're being tested every day. Things are a little bit different. You're out of your comfort zone. And maybe you could kind of take a deep breath and say, well, I don't have to get serious until we really know what's going on, or I put the pads on. And that's something they do not want to happen.
Yeah, right. And I think Frank Clark said it the other day when they had all the interviews. They had the Zoom calls with Frank.
Yeah,
he said, you know, winning the Super Bowl was cute. He used that for, you know, winning the Super Bowl was cute. But that's not where we want to end this thing. We've got a great chance. They all know they've got a great chance to do it again, but it's very, very tough to repeat. Everybody around here in Kansas City just thinks it's going to be easy. It won't be easy. A lot of teams out there, you've got a target on your back, and you've got to do everything right. They're not going to be able to get some of these rookies, acclimated that quickly, although, you know, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire says that he feels, oh, yeah, this offense is simple. And Andy the other day said, well, it's not as simple as it looks right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to load him up real soon. We'll see if he still thinks it's that simple. It's going to be difficult for the young guys who they want to count on that are coming up. They're the ones that haven't been in this process, and they're going to need some of those guys, and they're going to have to really pay attention to detail, like those guys said. But Frank Clark was very interesting what he had to say.
All right, one of the great things about CBD American Shaman, other than they help us put this show on, we appreciate them so much, is you can take care of yourself from the inside by taking some products to help out with your immunity and everything else. And you also have stuff for the outside with the hand sanitizer and the cleaner that you can use around the house. Go over to any CBD American Shaman store. Take care of yourself on the inside against COVID and the outside against COVID. Do all the things you possibly can to keep yourself healthy this time of the year with all this stuff going on from CBD American Shaman.
Don't forget, coming up next, Les Norman is going to join us. We're going to talk to him not just about baseball, everything going on there, the former Royal and the host, of course, of Breaking the Norm here on 810 and on 1510 in ESPN Kansas City. We'll talk to him about what it's like for some of these young kids like high school, college kids, or some of these kids he coaches to be, you know, you're stranded in your house. You have no idea what's going on. All these tournaments usually played during the summer have all been canceled and called off, and now they're trying to crank things back up again. We'll talk to Les where all that stands as well, along with what's going on in Major League Baseball.
Can't wait to talk to Les. You're listening to Crunch Time.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while.
It's awesome.
Rock and roll was being born.
Love this song.
Got it. We got a good guy we love on the other end of the line, too, man. Les Norman, former Kansas City Royal, and, of course, motivational speaker. And he is on Breaking the Norm here on Sports Radio 810 WHB on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. and 4 to 5 on Tuesdays on ESPN Kansas City 94.5 FM and 1510 AM, and he has a lot of interesting people on. He is a motivational speaker. I've never seen this guy in here where he didn't have something positive to say to you and a big smile on his face. Les Norman. How you doing, Les?
Well, my goodness, after that introduction, now I've got a big smile on my face, like even bigger.
Les, I would never get an introduction like that.
No, Tim, you wouldn't. It's because you're Mr. Miserable. That's why, okay? There's no hope for you, okay?
There is no hope, although I do listen to Breaking the Norm, which I think is the greatest name for a radio show.
It's great.
Breaking the Norm, yeah. From Les Norman. Perfect. Yeah. Hey, Les, you've been doing this for many, many years, this radio show, and not coaching kids. This year, obviously, is so much different than any other year. 2020 has just been throwing us curveballs left and right, and now a big changeup as we start to try to get into college football. Talk to us a little bit, though, about the kids, the high school kids or the 12 or 13-year-olds that are so used to socializing through baseball all summer long with going to World Series games and
tournaments
and their social
playing,
life.
Just practicing.
Social life kind of wraps around baseball. How are these kids doing, and what has kind of been the message to keep these kids and keep their spirits up?
Well, I'm glad you put that last part in, especially because there's a message in everything. I mean, I was a baseball player, and, you know, you stud football players that you guys were and different levels and all that. You know, there's character lessons, there's morals, and there's positive things that you can teach these kids through any sport. And so I'm glad you put that in there. It's different wherever you go, because my youngest son, who is 15, I'm entering his sophomore year, they've been playing full-blown tournaments all summer. But there are other areas that their whole season was canceled. Their practices were canceled. They couldn't practice outside. They couldn't play a single tournament. It depends on where you live. It depends on the leagues. It depends on the county rules where you're at. And so, you know, we've played tournaments from Fort Scott to Wichita State to here in the Kansas City Metro. So, you know, we've gone all over the place. And even up at Missouri Western, and there are different protocols where, like at Missouri Western, you had to come in a staging area, and you couldn't go outside of that. The parents had to bring their own chairs and sit at least 6 feet apart. Nobody could sit in the stands. There were nobody was allowed to come in until they cleared it. Now, there are other places where you just come and go. It was like things were normal. And so, you know, for my kids, don't use each other's equipment. I always have massive loads of hand sanitizer all the time. We're trying to avoid the fist bumps and the high fives and stay apart as much as possible. But, you know, teenagers are teenagers, and it's hard when you've got these immune systems and they're not sick and they want to see each other. So you try to do what you can, but and I'll finish up with this. The hard thing is, it was like the seniors that didn't get a normal graduation, even though many of the Metro kids got to go to the Sporting KC's, you know, Children's Mercy Park and do that like my son did. But it's a struggle, because I've known some families where kids have battled depression. They've battled anxiety. They've just had these struggles because now their parents are going to work and they're left home alone. And it wasn't too long ago that I interviewed the former host of America's Most Wanted. And him and his son, John Walsh, and his son, Callahan, talked about how during this time, the child abuse goes way up because there's quarantine and kids can't get out of the house.
Right.
And so it's a tough time for everybody, especially those that have had their seasons canceled. And so it's really important as coaches, even if it's virtual, to make sure you're spending extra time with your kids, teaching lessons, letting them know how valuable they are as a human being first, not as an athlete. And yes, as an athlete, but make sure they understand their identity is in who they are, who they were created to be, and that even though we're not playing, we can still get together and have some fun virtually until it's time to get out in person.
Les, we're talking with Les Norman, breaking the norm here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You're listening to Crunch Time. Les, did you get any blowback when you guys decided to go and play baseball as usual? And did you have many families opt out because you decided to do that?
I did not have a single family opt out.
Wow.
No, you know, there were some medical professionals within some parents for us. And, you know, they had sent emails saying, hey, could we please, social distance, please don't share equipment, you know. And I made sure nobody shared equipment. Now, I'm sure someone might have grabbed someone else's bat. And those things happen. But to the best of our abilities, as far as teenage boys go, you know, we made sure we hand sanitized. So we didn't get much blowback. I did want to try to have a cookout, kind of just to get to know each other a little bit better at the beginning, because we had some new players. And then I got some feedback from the parents saying, yeah, with food and changing that, yeah, let's not. And I thought, you know what? You're probably right. I probably shouldn't have suggested that. I had the best of intentions but didn't think that through, and so we didn't do that. But I have not heard anybody on teams we've played against or in the public eye from our tournaments of anybody with blowback saying you should never let them do that. That's a big mistake. And all of our parents were super supportive as long as we tried our best to make sure they didn't share equipment.
Les, not trying to bang on the MLB because they've gotten banged out enough from enough people all over the country. But is there some things that you're seeing that these guys are doing? This is talk COVID wise that you wish that they would not do. You know, one of the things they talked about was, listen, no spitting on the field, no chewing seeds, wear your mask. And I watch it. You know, I'm a sucker. I watch all the games. I watch all the Cub games, the Royals games. And you look around, a lot of the guys are high-fiving. They're not wearing their masks, and they're spitting on the field, doing all those kind of things. Yeah, are those the kind of things that, it makes it harder to coach the young kids when the MLB guys are kind of doing their own thing?
In a sense, yes. But look, I want to be honest about this. I don't want to give the pat answer. If I were playing in the big leagues right now and I'm out on the field or I'm in the dugout, I probably wouldn't necessarily be having a mask on because there's guys around me that are getting tested. And if I knew their tests were negative and all those things, then I would, you know, I would be okay with it. Now, here's the problem. I would definitely police, to the best of my ability, every day, did anybody go out partying last night? Did anybody go to a bar last night? Did anybody go to some party last night? And if I either suspected it or if they did, then I would ask that they stay away from me or I would wear my mask around them. Because, again, you know, in college, you're going to have college football players that know they shouldn't do it, but they're going to go to parties. Mm-hmm. They're going to have get-togethers because they're college kids. And you could be 19 years old and be called up to the big leagues, especially now because the rosters were expanded. And if a bunch of guys get tested positive, you need guys to backfill those positions. So you're seeing all these major league debuts with these young guys, and they're young guys, and young guys who feel like they're invincible and they're at the peak of health. And so it may not affect them like it would where if they get it, it won't affect them as much. But if they're around somebody, say someone that's 70, 75 years old that they pass in a restaurant who is high risk and they don't have their mask on, that could end someone's life. And so it's a matter of maturity. It's a matter of respect and understanding your surroundings at all times. And if they could police it and do it that way, I don't think you would see so many positive tests as you have been.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, too, for the young kids that you coach and all those kids like that, it becomes a teaching moment when you see what happens in Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies. Go, look, guys, these guys are professional ballplayers. They're going to sit for 10 days. Now the Marlins have to bring up 16 guys from the minor leagues that they had no intention of playing. And now all of a sudden these guys are on the roster replacing the guys who tested positive. So I think it really is, even though it's a negative thing, you can certainly make a positive out of it by making a teaching moment out of it.
Absolutely. It's a great point, Frank. Everything, like we said, is a teaching moment. Now, the one thing that benefits our team, specifically our Saints team, is that to be a part of our organization way back when I was coaching my oldest son, who's now in college and doesn't play anymore, but it was always respect yourself, respect your teammates, respect your parents, respect God who allowed you to have the ability to do what you can do, respect umpires, respect the other team, just respect everybody else and be thinking of others. So for us, we already teach the respect model and look for the interests of other people, and therefore we get to build on that foundation that we've already laid. And so I'm hoping that whether coaches have laid that foundation or not, it is super important to help them understand that there is a teaching moment in everything, especially now.
Les, you said that the parents have been able to go to the games and they've been social distancing, and I think that's great. I think it's important for parents to be out supporting their kids. And I know when I would always look for my dad up into the stands and my mom up in the stands when I was playing Little League baseball and high school baseball and, you know, even college football. It was important for me to have my parents there, so I think that's great. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Major League Baseball. I know that the new owner of the Royals, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
John Sherman.
He said, hey, listen, in a perfect scenario, we're going to work towards getting, you know, fans in the stands maybe towards the end of this season. What do you think the odds of that happening? Is there a chance? And how would they go about doing that if they did?
Well, I think I feel like there would have been a chance until you start seeing the Phillies and the Marlins and all these different teams only playing like five games. Other people are pushing up on 15, you know. So I think if you wouldn't have those outbreaks, I think that chance is decreased. Now, I think when they do, and they're going to have to figure out protocol, but I'll tell you what, a lot of these training and medical organizations and the front office staff that are tied into these major league teams and NFL teams and all that, man, they're nailing it. I mean, if there's anybody that deserves overtime, it's these trainers and medical professionals, front office that are working extra to have these meet. Can you imagine the Zoom meetings these people have been having? I mean, my goodness, they probably have screen burn in their eyes. So I think it is going to happen, but, you know, you're going to have to – organizations and ballpark people are going to have to go through and look at seating charts. And who do we offer seats to? Is it the, you know, the season ticket holders first? And in this section, you know, every other row you can sit in. And if you're a family of four, a family of six, your family can sit together. But the people that are next to you, you can only sit, you know, like four seats away. and probably only put people on the ends of rows because you can't climb over people if you're going to social distance in that way. Or it's, you know, they're just going to have to figure out how to be able to get people in the stands and safely keep them social distance from each other. But I do think it will make a big difference if they're able to do it and they think it's safe. It will make the game more exciting because I'll tell you, as much as a fan can't help you hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but he sure can build your confidence when you're at your home park to put you in a position to do a better job of it. So the fans run the show, I think, and it'll be great to have them back.
Yeah, you know what? The Royals really have a problem, though, Les. They have they just added another owner, so now they have 23 owners, and to try to do that with social distancing with their families or whatever, they might have just a bit of an issue out there.
yeah, they might. But one of the owners is a pretty high name dude.
Yeah, so, I think he'll be able to sit anywhere he wants.
I think the NFL has already told him he's not allowed to go any sporting events other than his own.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's a guy you want to put in a bubble right there.
Yeah, but it's a unique option because if you're really struggling with your pitching staff, you have an owner that you can call up and sign to a one-day, $1 contract if you need a couple innings.
That's right.
Unless, what do you think about Patrick Mahomes and just the way he is all in, not just for the Chiefs, they won the Super Bowl and all that sort of thing, but he is all in on this community. I mean, you couldn't build a better guy, could you?
No, you couldn't, because I grew up in the Chicago area and loving and getting as a teenager, having Michael Jordan from the inception of his career become a Chicago Bull. And to watch his leadership as a young age, and people say, well, come on, he's won a Super Bowl, but he's only 24. And look, people call him, the media darling. He's not a media darling just because he's a handsome guy that can throw touchdowns and win Super Bowls. This guy's a born leader. He has shown maturity on and off the field. He knows how to handle interviews. He knows how to bring the team on his back. He knows how to challenge guys that are older than him. I mean, Tim, you know this because you've played. How many young guys that are way younger than you, when you're an established Pro Bowl veteran, that you're going to listen to bark at you when they're 12 to 15 years younger than you, but he can do it in a way that it's not insulting you as a human being. It's a challenge that makes you want to get better. There's not many.
You're exactly right, Les, when you say that. I mean, here's a guy that, first of all, he does it the right way. He you always look and say, okay, is he talking the talk and not walking the walk? And
right.
and as a veteran guy, that's the first thing you look for. And this guy's walking the walk every time. And not just off the field, on the field, everything he does it the correct way. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And this is his team. And I said it last year at this time, and people were like, that team was his team last year too. I mean, that's how special right. This guy is.
And we're in an unprecedented – I mean, there have been pandemics before in the world. But in this generation, we're seeing something that we never thought we'd see. I never thought I'd have to walk around in public with a mask. I never thought I'd have to have, conversations with my kids about when you go to school, this is what you do because you don't want to get the coronavirus, which is part of the pandemic. But, the Chiefs had been in a football drought, and he comes in and not a lot of expectations on him, and he gets them to the playoffs, then he gets them to the Super Bowl. Then he's part owner of the Royals now, and he's doing all these interviews, and he knows how to handle media. You see him leading on the field. I wanted to, when he's challenging guys on the field, I wanted to switch my career to past MLB player to past NFL player. I wanted to jump through the screen and put a helmet on. So that's just the type of person he is, but especially during a pandemic when you've got political division and you've got racial division, and you've got division just for the sake of division, not just in the city and in this country, but in this world right now. A guy like Patrick Mahomes can bring positivity. I mean, he can't cure a pandemic. He's not going to single-handedly cure racism and divide and political this and that. But what he can do is shed a positive light and put people in a frame of mind where they're thinking good instead of bad. And when you have a positive mindset, you're more apt to be a proponent and part of the solution for change instead of wallowing in the mire of negativity and end up contributing to the downfall of what's going on. And so he's no savior. There was only one of those, and you could read the Bible and find out who that was, of course. But he's a guy that breeds positivity and leadership in many areas. And so he's run with that, and I think that Kansas City's blessed to have him.
We're talking about Les Norm, of course, Breaking the Norm, 7 to 8 on Saturdays on Sports Radio 810, and then 4 to 5 on Tuesdays on ESPN 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. And you can tell Les is also a motivational speaker. Give us a little bit of the synopsis of the birth of Breaking the Norm. What made you do this? And you are just, I know your life story. So I know, you know, you've come up the hard way. You've overcome tremendous obstacles in your life. And, you know, some people just hide those things and sort of keep them to themselves. But you have done it to, you did it. And you have decided to, you know, reach out and, you know, be a guiding light for people, or at least to tell people that, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can overcome anything.
Right. And you know, and thanks, Frank. That's very kind of you and very encouraging for you to say that. I'm an open book, and the reason I'm an open book is not to air laundry, but there's so many people out there that have had struggles in their past and that live in shame. And I don't want people to live in shame. There's a lot of people that need help. There's a lot of people that are anxious. There's a lot of people that have father wounds. And the whole thing for me was I loved listening to sports radio back 10 years ago. Gosh, we've been on 10 years. That's crazy. But 10 years ago, I was discussing this with my bride, Kristen. And I said, you know, I love sports radio, but I don't get motivated by sensationalism and negativity as much as stories of people just being real and success stories of when you had to come and struggle, not that you could throw 90 miles an hour when you were 7 years old. And so I had no radio experience. I didn't study broadcasting. And to tell you, the first year, I was really bad at it. But the content was good, because I could talk to people. I was interested in people. And so I got better and studied and practiced and listened to people like you guys and, you know, people all over the country that have been in TV and radio a long time. And it made me better. I challenged myself because the people deserved to hear the best possible version of the best possible people in their best story. And so that's why we did it. You know, like I said, I can't believe here we are 10 years. I've got to meet some amazing people, and I'll end with this. Some of the most famous people that I've ever had on my show, one of the biggest questions I ask them, and I don't tell them I'm going to ask this because I want that moment where they really have to think of an honest answer. I ask them, not physically, but when you look in the mirror, tell me what you see. And we finally get to see these sports and business and entertainment celebrities stripped down of the stuff you see on TV or movies or wherever, and they get real. And we can associate with these people that entertain us that those are real people too, and I'm not this lesser person because I can't score touchdowns, I can't act, and I'm not worth $10 billion, but I'm a person just like them, and it gives them courage and the strength to share their story, to fight through their obstacles, and to understand success isn't about your bank account. It's about you being authentic and helping other people. And so that's why we do what we do.
Well said, my friend. Don't miss Breaking the Norm on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's on twice a week, once 7 to 8 on Saturdays on Sports Radio 810, and then 4 to 5 on Tuesdays, ESPN 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. We love you, Les. We miss you. I miss seeing you around here. I told you that earlier this week when I wanted to have you on. I just said, geez, I miss seeing you
around here. Yeah, it's so great to have you around, Les. Yeah.
You bet, pal.
Man, thank you. Thank you so much, guys. And if I have to wear a hazmat suit to hug you both, I'm going to do it.
Let's do it.
I'm
going
to get a hug from you.
Hey, listen, you have to hug us with a hazmat suit, whether it's COVID-19 or not, pal, okay? That's all you got to know about the two of us.
Fair enough. Right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Les. You bet, man. God bless you.
All right, guys, don't forget CBD American Shaman. By the way, at all CBD American Shaman shops right now, if you want to take care of your puppy dog, you buy two of the doggy snacks or the doggy food, and you get two for free. So remember that you take care of your dog, too. These dog treats and dog food do great jobs with support for joints, health. They also for storm stress.
Anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure use it all the time for our little puppy dog who has storm fright. We know a storm's coming. We give him a little treat, and then he's nice and relaxed. And we used to have to give him some pharmaceutical stuff and knock him out for the whole next day. So now we just give him a little doggy treat, a little CBD doggy treat, and he's good. He's relaxed, and the next day he's fine and back to normal. So right now, all the CBD shops all around town, buy two, get two free at any CBD American Shaman store. Go take care of your puppy. Take care of yourself. Take care of your puppy, and all life will be good. You're listening to
Crunch Time.
Big 12's coming up.
Big 12, go ahead, say
it. Big 12's coming up Monday, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
All right, guys, welcome back to Crunch Time. As college football is starting to put their schedules together, the Big 10 has put their schedule together. The Pac-12 has put their schedule together.
Right, the Big 10, they will play 10 conference games. The Pac-12, 10 conference games. Big 12, looking like 9 conference games and 1 home non-con. The ACC, which Notre Dame's part of for Timmy, 10 conference games and 1 non-con. So that'd be a 11 for them. And then some of your smaller, the AAC and the Sun Belt, are starting to put their schedules together. But Conference USA, Mountain West, and the MAC are still to be announced. They have not. They're the smaller conferences, obviously, but they haven't made the final decision yet. But it's still going to be tough here to get all this done,
yeah.
Especially when kids come back to campus. I think that's going to be the issue.
Absolutely right, and the freshmen right now are starting to return back to Notre Dame, and this weekend they will be all back in, and then the other kids will be coming in, so that'll be interesting to see how that affects the team, as they had 417 tests, and they only had 2 people test positive, which is positive, which is good, not positive.
Yeah.
But the other thing that just came out just a couple hours ago, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will release its final rankings. Now, this is coming up for this year, which will determine the teams that are in the semifinals on December 20th. Now, usually they did it on December 6th. I think it was right around, either right before or right after the Army-Navy game is when they would usually put those out. And they say, okay, these are the 4 teams we have in the playoffs. Now they're moving that back to December 20th. But the semifinals are going to be on January 1st, and the championship game will be on January 11th. But there's a possibility that there's a couple teams that aren't quite sure that they made the playoffs that are on the bubble. You know, there might be 2 or 3 teams that might have to continue to practice and all of a sudden find out they're not going to be in the playoffs. And I'm not sure if they're going to be bowl games this year, Frank. I don't see bowl games.
I don't even want to go that far.
Yeah.
But they have given a reason, and you would think, well, why don't they just move it up and right on December 6th?
Yeah, that was my point.
And then the 13th, they play the semis. But what they've done, they've put in a sort of a floating schedule in there where they give them their several weekends that they're going to leave open in some cases, so that if some games have to be made up because of COVID, they'll have some opportunities to do that.
Okay, let's say there are 6 teams that have a legitimate shot of making the playoffs.
Right.
Their seasons are over.
Thanksgiving.
So there are 2 or 3 teams that might have to continue the practice and then find out on December 20th that they're not playing, because you can't just stop.
Well, on December 6th, they're going to tell them.
No, correct? December 20th.
Oh, that's right. They moved it back from December.
Yeah,
6th.
Yeah. So you know, I'll give you a prime. Let's say Notre Dame is right. Like a couple years ago, they. You know, people were fighting with them because they weren't in a conference, blah, blah, blah. And it could be anybody. Let's say
Alabama.
Alabama or Nebraska. You know, Alabama lost in the SEC championship game, but that was the only loss they had. And will they make it or will they not make it? Are they going to bring Oklahoma in? All those different case scenarios. And their season is done. Because if they play in the SEC championship game, that would be like the first week of December. So they're done the first week of December, so there's 2 weeks they won't know if they're going to play or not. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah,
now, that they might have some kind of formula and say, hey, listen, you know, you guys are in
or you're
not.
This is the way it's going to work, yeah.
But as of the way I see it right now, mm-hmm. Do you see anything different?
No, I don't see anything different at the moment to see how they're going to try to figure
it
out. But, you know, right now, everybody, no one knows what they're doing. They don't.
Can
nobody
we say,
really does.
And I'm not going to swear, but nobody knows what the blank is going on.
They're trying.
They're going crazy.
And they're trying to figure out every scenario. And you know there's going to be something, oh, man, we didn't think about that. Or, oh, man.
I'll tell you who's going to be really busy tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning Central is Sarah Grunhard putting together travel plans for ACC games. So, I mean, we had no idea what's going on and when the games are or if there's going to be games. And And so we find out tomorrow, we know who we're playing, didn't know when or, you where. Know, where particularly. So remember now, Wake Forest, they're still saying they're going to play in Carolina at the Carolina Stadium in Charlotte. But right. the NFL teams are saying, listen, we don't want college games in these stadiums because
we have our own COVID-19
situation. And they might not even be playing in the stadiums.
That's what I mean.
Can you imagine if the Carolina Panthers are not letting people in the stands because of NFL rules, and then all of a sudden Wake Forest is playing a game in there?
Yeah, with fans?
With fans?
No, that won't happen. The NFL will rule that.
Yeah, so that. You know what?
Nobody knows.
Everybody take a deep breath or hold your breath or whatever it is. There's a lot of information coming. Stick with Crunch Time, and we'll get you all that information. Frank Bull, he went through the original pandemic back in the Spanish flu. So he knows all about the different protocols, don't you?
Exactly right. Yep. Wear your mask. Stay socially distant. And we'll see you next week. Hopefully.
And, you know, maybe we'll talk about our little talk about the Zoom meetings. That we thank God there wasn't Zoom when we were younger.
Good Lord.
All right, you've been listening to
Crunch Time.